everybody, and welcome back to this week's edition of the Waterboy Experience. I am your host, the Waterboy himself, Davis McLemore, and it's been a few weeks, but we're back here again. Not much is happening in the world of Formula One and NFL. We're really rather bored, so we've had to find entertainment elsewhere. We've been watching, reviewing, and doing all sorts of different things. We've tried to get into Formula E. That didn't work out. So we resorted to one of the things that we love to hate on the most, professional wrestling. And as you know, a couple weeks ago was WrestleMania, and it was the biggest WrestleMania of all time, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It was certainly the longest, but we're going to try to talk about that today. And here to help me do all that is my good buddy, the CEO and CFO of Nye Productions, the Red Bull chugging son of a gun. And he's got a story to finish here on the show, Mr. Jason Shaddix. Jason, how are you?
I still am pretty mad at you that I had to watch night two.
You only watched night two. I watched night one and two. So why are you complaining?
Because night two was like 5 hours long.
They were both 5 hours long.
I know. I caught the last 30 minutes of the main event for night one. It was the shits.
And it was still really long.
Oh, God, it was so fucking long.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's I'm really, really hoping, and I don't think I've heard set confirmation yet, but I'm pretty sure they're going to go away with the two-night WrestleManias here pretty soon, which will be fantastic for us, because I don't think people understand how much of a toll it takes on your weekend to watch WrestleMania. It's
yes. Instead of getting drunk for two nights with your girlfriend, you make your girlfriend watch two nights of WrestleMania while getting drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, not your girlfriend, your wife. My bad.
Yeah, my wife. No, wife. Show some respect. But I mean, we're just going to lead into night one. As bad as I felt even worse for the fans in Philadelphia on night one, when it was cold and it was raining and they had to sit through 5 hours of just mediocre at best wrestling. And the first match on the card, of course, was Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. And it was a decent match. You probably didn't see it, so I don't know if you can give much thoughts to it. But I mean,
I didn't see it.
Yeah, there wasn't much to say about it anyway. So it was, you know, Rhea Ripley won. So your thoughts?
She won, and now she's hurt. Like, it didn't even last that long.
No, it didn't. And I mean, I'm still confused on how she got hurt. Was it a backstage angle that she got hurt in?
Yes, she got hurt in a backstage angle. But the thing is, leading up to the last few weeks, she has been dealing with a shoulder issue. And it hasn't gotten worse until Liv Morgan threw her into the wall and she just smacked her shoulder on the wall. Now, some people think that's a work, but clearly it wasn't. It's like when Mr. Kennedy German suplex Randy Orton, and Randy landed on his bad shoulder, and you could just look in his eyes and he was like, "You motherfucker." Because he had told Mr. Kennedy, "Hey, watch out for my shoulder. I got a bad shoulder. Don't fucking throw me." And he did. Yep. And Liv Morgan did the same thing.
But I mean, also, you got to think about it. For the better part of, 2 years, Rhea Ripley's been going, you know, consistently. If, you know, several other wrestlers on the card, all the guys and girls, they've had somewhat of a break in between. Rhea Ripley has not had a break. She's been going consistently for the past 2 years straight. And so injuries catch up to you, and now you're in a position where all of a sudden Liv Morgan's the one that ends your title reign. So whatever. The pothead, the Matt Riddle of the women's division, I guess, is what you could say. I'm joking. She didn't have that much weed in her car.
But still, you shouldn't drive while intoxicated.
You shouldn't. All right, we're going to move on to the next match, which me and you both agreed was probably the worst match at WrestleMania.
No, it wasn't the worst.
Okay, there might have been worse, but coming up next was the 6-pack tag team ladder match for the Raw US tag team titles and the SmackDown US tag team. Both, you know, they've got four titles hanging over the ring. There's tables, there's six different teams, so there's 12 guys in there. It was a fucking mess. Just
from the beginning, I thought it's going to be a mess. This is just a match to make the people who don't deserve a WrestleMania spot, and they're just trying to make them happy by like, oh, we're going to put you guys in a tag team ladder match. It didn't matter then. It doesn't matter now. They were a joke. It's a piss break match. That's all it is. If WrestleMania was one night, they wouldn't have been on the show. If they would have been on the show, they would have been on the pre-show, and nobody would have seen them.
And if they meant anything to the company, that would have been in an actual match, not whatever the fuck this was. And I think I said it early on in the match to you, or even before it started. It hit me while DIY was coming out to their D-Generation X cosplay as Shawn Michaels and Triple H. There is not a single team in this match that is over at all. Nobody cares about any of these teams. They might say that they do, but really nobody cares about DIY or what's it called? Theory, you know, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, you know. Nobody cares.
I think the Profits were in that match.
No, they weren't.
Oh, that was the second night.
Yes. Yeah, they were in the probably, actually, now that I think about it, that might have been the worst match.
I forgot about it. When you and I were initially talking about WrestleMania and reviewing it, you know, personally, I had forgotten that match even existed.
And that was the one Snoop Dogg
was involved. Dead they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Austin Theory, Grayson Waller won the SmackDown titles. And then The Miz and R-Truth won the Raw titles. So they were split up and then they put them back together and now they're split up again. So I guess that makes sense. I don't know.
Makes sense to somebody.
Somebody down the line. I don't know. But anyway, we're moving on. If I'm remembering correctly, the next match on the card was the,
I think, in the Intercontinental.
No. This was the Hispanic tag team match
with Rey Mysterio. I forgot about that one.
See, yeah, with Andrade and Rey Mysterio versus Pablo Escobar and Dominic Mysterio.
Why are all the Hispanic guys in one feud? That's my question. Why are they all just stuck together? And I think the LWO has like 13 members and they're all the Hispanic dudes. And it's like, we don't believe in you guys to have separate storylines. So we're going to put you in a storyline where it's the Hispanics versus the Hispanics. Who was that match for?
Literally, we're going to put all of you together in one match. Just get your spot in one match. It didn't make any sense at all. Carlito was there. You know, whatever. He doesn't do much, but he's there. I'm trying to think of anything significant that happened in the match outside of the ending to the match. And I can't.
What was the ending to the match?
You didn't see the finish?
No, it's them. I really did not care.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't care either, but it happened. So Santos is down on the floor. He's doing something. He goes to grab a chair. He goes to try to hit Rey Mysterio. Then all of a sudden, this big guy in a green Rey Mysterio mask grabs the chair.
Oh, that's right. It was Jason Kelsey.
Yeah, it was Jason Kelsey, which we love Jason Kelsey. He's our favorite Kelsey. So it was fun to see. Yeah, whatever.
Travis, you realize, there?
Huh?
Travis wasn't there?
No, Travis wasn't there.
Well, that sucks. Oh, I know that we're kind of like, I'm going to get away a little bit from wrestling. Did you know that Jason Kelce lost his Super Bowl ring in a chili pool?
Yeah, in a vat of Skyline chili. I saw that today.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
That's a bummer. But that's the most Jason Kelce thing ever.
I can imagine his wife going, Jason, why did you take your Super Bowl ring?
Well, it's a Super Bowl ring. You got to take it everywhere. You got to wear it everywhere.
Somebody in the comment section, I don't believe it was either of the Kelseys who run that account, but somebody on social media said that was using that account said, we didn't think it through. And I was thinking, who's we? It sounds like it was one person's idea, and his name was Jason Kelce.
If none of this, maybe he's got that multiple personality thing. Or maybe he's got like, I don't know.
Meanwhile, Travis was rolling his eyes. He was like, oh, fucking God, this idiot again.
Yeah, and Travis lost his Super Bowl ring too. But
did he?
Yeah, but it was a little bit easier to find because it was a gaping hole.
All right, going back to WrestleMania.
You get what I'm getting at. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm going to ignore that joke. You old sourpuss. Just give it up. He's a good tight end.
Hey, yeah, no. Anyway, so we're going to move on. This next match was one of, if not my favorite match of the whole pay-per-view. For the Intercontinental title, it was Sami Zayn versus Gunther. Now, I know your thought, and I know a lot of people have the same thought. I had the same thought. But whatever they were doing, it might not have been what we wanted, but they did it well. You can't deny that.
I mean, I can deny it if I want to, and I'm denying it right now.
You're not saying that this match was good.
No, the match was good. Look, the match was good. I know we wanted
Chad Gable, and it should have been Chad Gable. But what they were trying to do in this match, it was pretty clear. Sami Zayn goes over, big baby face pop, all that stuff. I thought they did it really well. Was it the time to beat Gunther necessarily? But I mean, you know, it's at WrestleMania. You wanted to get the Rocky pop, I guess. Whatever. Okay, let's do that. But I don't know. What do you think about the whole situation?
I'm not going to deny that it was a good match, but I do believe that it was the wrong time for Gunther to drop the championship, because unless you're ready to push him as the next contender for the championship, which I believe he should be, it served no purpose other than just pushing Sami Zayn, which we've seen 100 times. And I'm pretty sure now that this match is going to go this title run is going to go the same way it always goes for Sami Zayn. He's going to be beating a couple of people, and then he's friends with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is going to turn on him, or Sammy's going to turn on Kevin, and then they're going to have this big fight for the Intercontinental Championship. I've seen it 100 times already.
It's happening now. He was friends with Chad Gable, remember? And Chad Gable just turned on him the other night on Raw.
That's right. So
it's already
playing. Are they going to put the belt on Chad Gable, though? That's the question.
Well, I certainly hope so. I'm interested to see what a heel Chad Gable can do. I think I had this idea the other day, and I think I told it to you. Put the Creed brothers, the weirdly shaped guys, put them with Chad Gable, let them get experience, let them fill into their shape or whatever, and play it off like a Alpha Academy type of tag team. Get him far, far away from Maxxine Dupri and Otis. If you want
especially
him
presented Otis.
Seriously, especially Otis. If you want him presented seriously, then you need to put him with people that are serious. So
not named Maxxine Dupri.
Not named Maxxine Dupri and not named Otis.
I agree, but the thing is to me, Okay, how does it benefit Chad Gable to win the championship from Sami Zayn when he could have won the championship from Gunther and it would have been a bigger pop? It would have been more meaningful because then it would have been the conclusion to a storyline of Chad Gable is fighting Gunther. He's lost two previous times. You would have given him that third chance. And the way I would have done it is Chad Gable's fighting from underneath. It looks like he's not going to win, but at the last minute, Gunther makes one of those rare mistakes. Chad Gable gets him. 1, 2, 3. The people pop. I think that would have been a better ending. And I think that would have been a better way for Gunther to drop the belt because it doesn't make sense that Sammy's the champion. It doesn't make sense that Sami loses to Chad Gable. And it doesn't really make much sense that once again, one of Sammy's friends turns on him. Like, to me, none of that makes any sense. And to me, it is just a waste of opportunity.
I see your point. Basically, the match that you pitched for Chad Gable was the exact same match that Sami Zayn and Gunther had. So I do agree. I thought it should have been Chad Gable all along. I thought they were building him to be in the right spot, in the right position to beat Gunther. He already beat him once. And I think you could have gone from him winning the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania to a long-term feud between Chad Gable and Walter, or Gunther, whatever you want to call him. But that's not what we got, and it was disappointing. Much like the next match on the card, which was the main event of night one, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
Hold on. You're jumping the shark, cowboy. What about the women's triple threat match? No, not triple threat. Six women match.
The six way tag team women's 3-0-3-4. No, that was night two.
No. Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill.
That wasn't night two?
No, that was night one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, decent match. Whatever. Jade Cargill's a star. Moving on. That's all I got to say about that.
So much for that.
Yeah. So anyway, now we go to our main event. Speaking of stars, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns and The Rock. You had a lot of thoughts about this match. I'm going to let you start.
All right. So I didn't watch the whole match. I turned on the match after 15 minutes because I realized, I looked at the Snapchat and you had sent me a snap of Seth Rollins. And for some reason I had forgotten that Seth Rollins was going to tag team with Cody that first night. Cause I thought it was him and Drew McIntyre. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I don't really care about that match. And then I was like, wait a minute, that's night two. Oh fuck. I turned it on. Roman was just coming out when I tuned in. So I go, bucket, you know what? I'm going to go take a shower because I needed to take a shower regardless. I went and took a shower. Now, I take decent showers, like 20 minutes. You know, I'm singing in the shower. I'm showering. Da, 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 da. I come out. I get dressed. I look. This match is still going on. And I caught the last 30 minutes of that match. And I have to say that it is the most generic, awful match. It was everything that I didn't want it to be. It was constant going outside, using weapons, doing the same thing that we expect them to do, and they do it. And The Rock put himself out there a lot during that match. I noticed that. And it wasn't really good because The Rock, while he is in incredible muscular shape, he is way too big. Like, he is way too muscular to the point where it's unhealthy. You looked at him and I was like, brother, you need a tank of oxygen. That's what you need to write about now. So I really didn't like the match. I thought it was kind of dumb. I kind of thought the ending of it was incorrect. I thought Cody should have won and Seth should have won. But no, instead it was Roman who won. And it's like, oh, we're going to get the Bloodline rule match. And I just rolled my eyes because I know what kind of match that is. And it was exactly like I thought it was going to be. Your thoughts?
as soon as Cody and The Rock started going out into the arena, I groaned. I understand where The Rock is coming from. He's the Attitude Era guy. He's, you know, they did that all the time. But I was really hoping for this match to be refreshing. And I didn't feel refreshed after watching this. I wasn't impressed either by The Rock because, you know, like you said, he looked fucking phenomenal. He was great shape. He's in, physically wise, he looks better than he ever has. But he was so gassed. He was so tired. He was slow. And, you know, I understand. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on this because he was on the fucking gas. So this match took forever. There wasn't a whole lot of anything really creative. It was just, let's go to the outside. Let's hit each other with furniture. Let's do this. That was the better part of the match. And then they started trading finishers back and forth. And that's really what it came down to.
It was a modern match. It's right. Well, the worst of a modern match.
It was the worst parts of a modern day wrestling match, except if you had Cody do a dive and then you had The Rock do a dive and then you had Seth do a dive, then that would have been the worst part of a modern day wrestling match. I disagree with you on the finish. I think the finish was correct. But the bloodline rules, we found out really quick what that means. And we'll get to that in a minute. So we'll run through the second night really quickly. Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins had a match to open night two. Fantastic match. In my opinion, the second best match of the whole pay-per-view. CM Punk on commentary was phenomenal. Fantastic. Never let him go home. Just, if he can't wrestle, put him on commentary for everybody's match. Drew McIntyre ended up winning, and then he got fucked by CM Punk. 5 minutes later, here comes Damian Priest. Damian Priest cashes in, wins World Heavyweight title, and that's what that was. What did you think?
To me, it says that the company, Triple H, doesn't have any faith in Drew McIntyre, which, you know, I kind of agree. He's unseasoned white meat. That's all he is. He doesn't have anything that makes me want to watch him. His matches, again, it's the same shit that I saw 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It's the same shit. It's just not good. That's the thing. And to me, it says, okay, we don't have any faith in you as a champion. But I found it really interesting that they have more faith in Damian Priest and they put the belt on Priest. Now, some people are saying that Priest might be a transition champion. And they may be right, but at the same time, why would you just put the belt on Damian and not just keep it on Drew? Drew would have been the perfect transitional champion because he doesn't matter. It's like when Sheamus won the World Heavyweight Championship back in 2019, when they were doing that Legion of Domination or the League of Supervillains, whatever, you know, where it was.
Yeah, that sucked.
It was Sheamus, Alberto Del Rio, I think Rusev, and Roman beat him in like 10 minutes. All four of them, he beat him because it was like four guys and he beat him in just one go. And that was Sheamus being a transitional champion. Now Drew would have been perfect, like I said, but now you got Damian Priest. So that says to me, okay, you got a faith in Damian. And what you try to do was try to give him the Seth Rollins pop. Because in 2015, Seth Rollins cashed in on Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns and won the world title, which I thought was perfect way to have Seth win the championship because he was a chicken shit heel. He didn't like to get his hands dirty. He wanted people to do everything for him, and it worked for him. And it was the first time we saw that, and people popped. Did the people pop for this one?
No. I mean, exactly. You know, they popped a little bit. They were like, oh, okay. But it was nothing like, you know, when Seth Rollins came out. But also, you have to remember at that WrestleMania, I don't know if you saw that WrestleMania.
I've gone back and seen it, but I didn't see it in the moment.
Okay. Well, I was there watching it live, not there. I was watching it on my TV live. The Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar match killed the crowd. They were dead. People were sitting on their fucking hands. Nobody cared about that match.
Because it was the same match.
Exactly. You could almost see people in the crowd going to sleep. My brother was sitting on the couch next to me. He was asleep. And then Seth Rollins' music hit and everybody woke up like, whoa. And then he cashed in and whatever happened, happened. So this did not have the same effect. Mostly because I think Damian Priest has not been presented as a guy who can be a world heavyweight champion lately. I know people are like, oh yeah, he's world champion material. He might be, but he has not been presented to us as world champion material. If a car drives really, really fast, if you have a chassis to build a car that is really ridiculously fast, but you build it to look like a Nissan Rogue, am I ever going to pick that car? No, unless you present it to me as this is the fastest car you could possibly drive. Okay, then I'll drive it. But I haven't seen anything from Damian Priest to show me that he can do it. You know what I'm saying? Right now, he's like just a regular guy. I don't see world
title. I get your point. It's just a really bad analogy.
Yeah. Like you said, I'm trying to come up with something here.
Yeah. You're grasping for straws right there, Brian. Like I said, to me, the crowd didn't pop as they should have. They try to recreate a moment, but you can't recreate a moment. You have to be original about it. And the problem with Damian Priest is, do I think he's a world champion guy? He could be. But like you said, it's all about the presentation. He hasn't been presented strong the last few months. I want to say even a year and a half, because all the attention from the Judgment Day went from Damian Priest being the main guy to Damian Priest, Finn Balor, and JD Funko Pop, I can't remember his name, are taking a backseat to Dominic and Rhea. They are the face of the Judgment Day, specifically Rhea. Rhea is the next big star in WWE. She's already a star, but she's going to be, in my opinion, she's going to be the greatest women wrestler out there in the entire history of wrestling, because she can cut a promo. She looks unique. She can wrestle. She's the total package. And what she's doing right now is wowing people. And it's a setback now that she got hurt, but she still got that really good legacy to continue to build on upon, because when she comes back, Charlotte Flair is going to be healthy again. Oh. And you've given the people time for Rhea to go away and not get sick of her. So right now she's gone away, and now people are like, oh, we're going to miss Rhea. So when she comes back, they're going to pop. Damian Priest, on the other hand, this might be a blessing in disguise for him to be the champion and Rhea to be out. But it can easily go the other way. And I kind of feel that without Rhea, the Judgment Day is going to cool off real quickly. And so is Damian Priest's push.
I'm really worried that they're going to double down on the comedy spots with R-Truth and the backstage segments with the Judgment Day. I'm really worried they're going to double down on that and they won't try to do something serious with Damian Priest.
Well, this isn't Vince McMahon's WWE anymore. This is Triple H's WWE.
But it's still WWE.
That's true.
Well, the next few matches on the card were not super memorable. We have Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain, which I guess they're called the Last Testament, or they called the New Testament or something like that. I don't know. They're using too many Bible references here. And I guess it kind of makes sense how they call them, you know, the Testament, because... Oh, no, wait, never mind. I got those two people mixed up. I thought for a second I was getting them mixed up. I thought for a second it wasn't Paul Ellering managed them. I thought it was Father James Mitchell. And I was like, I guess it makes sense that they're the Last Testament because Father James Mitchell.
They will never allow Father James Mitchell into the WWE after that cocaine spot, even though he would be the most entertaining motherfucker in that company besides Paul Heyman. Him and Paul Heyman would go at it, and I would pay money. I will go down to New Orleans and sit front row just to watch Father James Mitchell, Paul Heyman go at it. Because regardless of what happens, there's going to be a riot, and he's going to be fired.
I would be interested in Karrion Kross again if he was accompanied to the ring by Father James Mitchell.
Hell, I'd be really interested if it was just Scarlett and Father James Mitchell.
Hey, there you go. But I don't, you know, I don't really remember who all was involved in this match. You know, there was a B-Fab, there was a Scarlett. Snoop Dogg was there.
I saw the fucking match. It is one of the worst matches I have seen in a very long time. And it was just so boring that I completely forgot that match existed. Not only did I forget it, but my mom was watching it with me. And we were just watching it on the couch and we were talking. And at that point, I just got completely bored. And when we were recapping, me and her, the event of the pay-per-view, we kept on forgetting one match. And I kept on telling her, I feel like we're forgetting something. And it wasn't until you and I were on the phone that I was like, oh, that's fucking right. Karrion Kross and Scarlett were in a fucking match. That's how bad that match was. I forgot about that match even existing. That's the worst match in that pay-per-view right there. It's that stupid match right there. It was pointless. It like the Authors of Pain, I saw them in NXT during their heyday. They were fucking great, especially with Paul Ellering as their manager. But what is he doing in that team?
Nothing.
They're not using him. He can talk. Let him talk. Let him cut promos. Instead, you got him with that dark hole of fucking entertainment that is Karrion Kross. Look, that man with no hair looked ridiculous. That man with hair looked ridiculous. That man with and without beard looks ridiculous. Karrion Kross is
ridiculous.
His work is okay. Karrion Kross's work is okay, but he sucks the joy out of everything that he's involved in.
That makes sense.
And the only fucking redeeming quality is his wife, Scarlett Bordeaux, who is fucking hot, and she comes out. And sometimes she's wearing some very good-looking clothing, let's put it like that.
She's the modern-day Sable.
Well, she can work, and she can cut a promo. So, no, she's better than Sable. She's just stuck with her husband, who sucks.
Who in the Attitude Era, who was it? Mark Mero and...
Sable,
yeah. That's what... Karrion Kross and Scarlett are like. They're like a bad Mark Mero and Sable.
Dude, if she could work, like, because I'll be honest, I haven't seen her work that much. But if she can fucking work, I'd make her my top star. I'd be like, Scarlett, you are fucking hot and you can cut a promo. I'm going to make you my women's champion. Even if you can't wrestle that well, don't worry. Rhea will carry you in that match.
Oh, yeah. But she's so much smaller than Rhea. What are you talking about? Doesn't matter.
Fine. Liv Morgan can carry you in that match. Doesn't matter. God. She's hot.
Liv Morgan sucked. All right, moving on, because that match was just nondescript. It felt like a Raw match, honestly.
Superstar match.
LA Knight versus AJ Styles. You enjoyed this match. What are your thoughts about it?
My second favorite match of the night. I thought it was great. I hated the fact that they butchered the GTR and made it into an ugly, ugly car. But besides that was the low point for the match for me. But besides that, I enjoyed the match. I thought both of them were incredible. Now, they didn't have the best match of the night. Not by a long shot.
They didn't need
to. They didn't need to. That's the thing. Not every match at WrestleMania needs to be a five-star classic. No, no, no. That match worked to get the people up and running. And that's what, exactly what they did. And I thought LA Knight winning was perfect. AJ looked good. Everything that they did was just great.
I was really in and out by this point. I didn't really pay attention to this match. And I wish that I did. It was just the whole Snoop Dogg match had me just distracted. And I was just like, all right, whatever. And I went about my business. I did my thing, you know, made myself a sandwich. But this match was really good. And I really liked both of the guys that were involved. I believe I told you, I was like, if you would have told me when I was 12, 13 years old, that two of the guys I was watching in TNA, AJ Styles and Eli Drake, were going to have one of the better WrestleMania matches of the night down the line, I would have called you crazy. But here we are.
I think you would have said at that time would have been, we can afford WrestleMania?
Well, believe it or not, you know, we would push everything aside to buy WrestleMania back then. We might be eating ramen noodles, but we had WrestleMania. But yeah, that was the match. LA Knight won, correct finish, and I'm hoping they can do something good with him.
For a match that seemed like it was a throwaway sponsor match, it was really good.
Oh yeah.
All right, moving on to the next match, which was my favorite match of the night, of the entire weekend, if I'm going to be honest, which I still can't believe you didn't like it, but I know for a fact that everybody else did, and it was the triple threat match between Randy Orton, Logan Paul, and Kevin Owens. My God, was that the best triple threat match I have seen in a long time.
It was the best triple threat match I've seen in a long time. But I haven't seen very many good triple threat matches in a long time. In fact, I haven't seen a good triple threat match in a while. But go ahead, prove me wrong. Which one?
Which what?
I thought you were about to prove me wrong. You were going to name one.
Yeah, I just had a really great triple threat match in my WWE 2K23 game. Randy Orton versus Randy Orton versus Randy Orton. It was the greatest triple threat match of all time.
That would be the greatest match of all time, period.
Exactly.
But no, I didn't hate this match. I just think people are kind of overreacting to it a little bit. I hate the stuff with the prime bottle and who's inside it, and who's doing what. And I love Show Speed. I think he's hilarious. And I loved him getting RKO'd, but everything they did in this match, I kept thinking to myself, they did this last year. This feels like I'm watching last year's match with the prime bottle and the prime bottles all over the ring and somebody's in the prime bottle. Oh, Logan Paul. And then Logan Paul cheats somehow and wins. I saw that match. I saw it last year at WrestleMania. I saw it at SummerSlam. Let's move on. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying because I thought it was a great match. I love the prime bottle.
You also didn't watch last year's WrestleMania.
I didn't, but look, even Cornette loved that match and he hates triple threat matches, even though he's the one that brought it into the WWE. He hates triple threat matches, but he said that's got to be one of the greatest triple threat matches of all time. And I agree because everything in it worked, from Randy Orton and Kevin Owens having that little friendship thing going on. And it's like, you want to get him first? And it's like, yeah, let's get him. And then Randy Orton turns on Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens catches him at the last second. And he's like, oh, okay, so I guess we're doing this shit. And they go at it. Logan Paul is such a fucking natural for a guy who barely wrestles. He is so fucking good in that ring, man. I am telling you, everything he does is just gold. He sells better than 99% of everybody in the WWE and in wrestling in general. Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
That splash to finish the match.
My God.
He got fucking air on that.
I think he might be one of the best, like, guys who gives a splash or, like, just flies in general. Because he lands his shit and he gets so much good air. I think he might be up there with Snuka, like, when he does a splash. I think he's better than Eddie when he does a splash.
He might be. I don't know.
So I love that match. I thought it was great. It really got me up and it really got me excited for the rest of the event. I was like, oh shit, this is really good. Okay, they're picking up steam right now. And then the next match happened and it just took all that excitement and just completely took it away. And it was the match between Io Sky and
Bayley. You're missing one. What Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso.
That was night one.
Oh, so we skipped it. Oh, well, that match sucked anyway.
Yeah, that match fucking sucked. It was a super kick mess. I think somebody went out there and counted it, and it was like 60 super kicks. And at one point... Oh, my God. No. Here's the fucking funny thing. At one point, Jimmy or Jey, I always get them confused, but one of them was in a corner, and he turned around to see, because his family was out there, and he saw his daughter on her phone. He yells out, "Get off your phone!" And somebody commented, well, if it wasn't a super kick fest, then maybe she wouldn't have been on her phone.
But so, Dad, this match sucks.
It did. Like, Jimmy and Jey fighting each other has been overdone to death. It is a boring match. It is very predictable. They're not the greatest wrestlers, so they can't actually wrestle and have a different match. Because if you see Bret Hart wrestle Ric Flair, it's going to be a different match than Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. Like, he can have a match. Even Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, when they had their matches, they were all different. But with Jimmy and Jey, it's the same shit.
I think we can both agree, the best brother versus brother match we've ever seen was Bret Hart versus Owen Hart.
By a long shot.
Long shot. But anyway, now we can move on to the Io Sky versus Bayley match. By the way, I did not watch this match. I refused to. And I get that a lot of people like the stuff with damage control. I really do not. I don't care. I don't care about any of these people in there. The women's division on SmackDown sucks. The women's division on Raw is pretty good. I like it.
Well, he says that, but the reason why he doesn't like that match is because Io Sky did the trash can spot at War Games.
I will never respect Io Sky as a person. There could be a drowning child in a pool, and she could risk her life to go swim out there. It could be my child, okay? And she could swim out there, go get the child, my child, pull him up, and save him from drowning. And I will still look her up and down and be like, "You disgust me." That's how bad it is. She did the trash can spot 2-3 years in a row. It was stupid. I think she's overhyped. She's overrated. Her eyes are too fucking big. Those are my thoughts.
All right. We get it. Look, I watched the match. Honestly, after that triple threat match, I wasn't into it because that triple threat match, to me, that was the best match of the night. It was everything that it need, like, that a wrestling match needs. So when I watched a triple threat match, especially because I just watched AJ versus LA Knight, and then I watched the triple threat match. So my expectation was high. And then when they performed, I really wasn't into it. Bayley can work. I've seen her work. And I loved a lot of her matches. In NXT, I loved the match she had against Nia Jax. I thought that's one of the best women's matches in NXT history when they were over in the UK. So I know Bayley can work, especially if she can make Nia Jax look good.
Yeah.
But it just didn't do it for me. Now, Mom, who's watching it with me, she liked it. She thought I thought it was a good match. I thought it was good for what it was. So... Maybe we're a little bit cynical, but I just didn't. I really couldn't get into it. I thought it was like a 2-star match, if anything. It was like, okay, it was a piss break spot for me.
that's the important part about this match. It's not that, you know, they did anything outrageous. It's not that it might have been a bad match. Just, I don't care, you know?
I think if it would have opened up the show instead of Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre, maybe I would have had a different perspective on that match. But like I said, after watching two really great matches, that one was a letdown to me.
Yeah. Moving on to the main event. You have a lot of thoughts about this match. Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns.
First off, it was the same match that Roman Reigns always has, with the exception that A, he lost the match, spoiler alert, and B, they went outside the ring, outside the like the ring area, and into the crowd, and they did that bump right there, which I thought was random. Like, I really didn't get that.
Eh. Again, it goes back to the, I mean, we've seen it before.
We have, but it's to me, just didn't make any sense. Like, what's the point of going there, coming back? I don't know. It just, that part just made me, like, it got me out of it, because I was like, again, that doesn't make any sense. Like, what was the purpose? What was the point other than a cheap pop?
Roman's a star, don't get me wrong, but his matches all have the same basic formula.
Spear, Superman spear, punch, spear.
Spear, spear. Opponent hits their finish. Kick out, spear, spear. One big, big high spot that you remember. Spear.
Which is probably going through the barricade, which they did again.
Yeah. Solo Sikoa does the thumb punch. Samoan spike. Spear. 1, 2, 3. That's the way every Roman Reigns match has gone for the past, 4 years?
Yeah, and then the occasional Jimmy or Jay. Like I said, I keep on forgetting those two. Who is who? But Jimmy or Jay interferes on behalf of the babyface, and it's not enough.
Yeah. It's never enough.
It's never enough. But for this match, they did that same thing. They followed the same formula, except there came Jimmy and Jay. And then, the good brother came out and he fought Solo and Roman. But then the other brother came out, blah, 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 blah. Seen it 100 times. And then who was it that came out? Was it Seth Rollins that came out? No, it was John Cena. It was Cena who came out first. And people were like, oh my God, it's John Cena. John and Cena has this little moment. Did not make any sense whatsoever. It was then that Seth Rollins hit, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Seth Rollins hits. And then here's the interesting thing. Seth Rollins dyed his hair blonde like he did back in the Shield. And he came out in his Shield outfit. And he came out to the Shield theme, which doesn't make any sense considering the fact that the Shield theme was Roman Reigns' theme for a very long time.
Right.
So they do that. Seth, you thought Seth would have gotten a big comeback against Roman, but instead they have Roman get the payback for the stab in the back by hitting him in the back with the chair. And then it was obvious that Rollins was in pain because of his knee. Like, that was not selling. That was like legitimately, okay, I did my spot. I'm going to lay down here because my knee is fucking bothering me. So that happens. And then you thought Stone Cold Steve Austin would come out because The Rock came out. That's one of the things we forgot to mention. The Rock came out. But then instead of Stone Cold, it was The Undertaker.
Which, don't lie,
really did not make sense. No, I didn't.
You popped. We both popped. But it didn't make any sense. We pop anytime the bell goes off.
My pop was more like, what the fuck is going on? What are they doing?
Hot shot.
But anyway, they do that. The Undertaker helps. And then Cody and Roman go at it a little bit more. And then Cody gives Roman 2 crossroads, 1, 2, 3. He wins. And they celebrate like he had beaten Roman Reigns for the first time in their first match against each other. which it wasn't. Last year at WrestleMania, Cody lost the championship, lost the fight against Roman. And to me, that kind of killed Cody. And the way they were celebrating this win, to me, it felt like, okay, you're doing what you were supposed to do last year. And to me, it doesn't mean anything anymore. And I know some people were crying. Some people were like, oh my God, he finished his story. That's stupid. It's like Spider-Man No Way Home. It looked good at first, but when you think about it, it's not a good movie. Just like this match wasn't a good match. This ending was underwhelming as fuck. It was an insult to everything that they've done. Because again, if they would have done this last year, oh my God, it would have been the greatest thing ever. But they didn't do it last year. They did it this year. And it was just a gimmick upon a gimmick upon a gimmick. And the thing about last year was, yes, one of the Usos came out to help Cody, but it really didn't really matter because the other Uso came out and really didn't do anything to Roman. But what it meant last year was, okay, Cody managed to beat Roman Reigns by himself. He fought through Solo Sikoa. He fought through Roman and he won. That would have been the big thing. But instead, you're telling the people, okay, Roman is so good that it took the combined might of Seth Rollins, John Cena, and the motherfucking Undertaker to beat Roman Reigns. And you're telling people Cody isn't as strong as we thought he should be. That's the way I looked at it. I know you look at it different. I know you thought it was a better ending than I did. But to me, it was just blah. They Lex Luger'd him and it didn't mean as much.
I'm still behind Cody. I still thought this was the right thing to do. Would it have been better if they did it last year? Possibly. It's hard to say. But I've enjoyed this whole build-up with The Rock being an extra factor in all this. You know, I thought it's been good TV. Now, was this match good? Not at all. But it had our, you know, it had our little cheap pop, so it had us kind of on the edge of our seat there for a minute. But it felt fun watching this match because I had an idea what to expect, but at the same time, I didn't know what to expect. There was still a part of me saying, they're not going to beat Roman here. There was a part of me thinking that you were right and they're still going to keep the belt on Roman. But it ended up happening and we got what we wanted and all is right with the world. Now I think they're having a big problem trying to figure out how to follow that up. So I don't know.
Yeah, because in the press scrum, Cody Rhodes basically said, what am I going to do next? Because I think they asked him, what is next for Cody Rhodes? And he said, I don't know what's next for Cody Rhodes because my whole life goal was to win the title, win what my father couldn't do. And now he's gotten that championship. He's done the one thing his dad could never do, and that's win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. But where does this go from now on? How do you keep Cody hot? That's the big thing. To me, and this is the big thing, to me, if he would have won last year, there's a multiple ways you could have gone about this. You could have had Solo and him fight for the... And that's probably what they're going to have, and I know it's a safe way out, but what you would have told the people was, okay, he beat Roman clean, like I said earlier. But what it would have said to everybody backstage was, okay, you're now the man to beat. You beat him cleanly. It's now our chance to prove that, okay, if we can beat you, then we can beat Roman. And you could have had LA Knight, who was hot back then. He's cooled off a little bit, but he was hot back then. And you could have had him and LA Knight go at it. I don't believe it's going to be as hot as it would have been a year ago.
No.
And I don't know what they're going to do with Cody, because what can you do when your whole life story was supposed to be, okay, I am going to win the World Heavyweight Championship. What then? What drives your character if you just lost the drive? You just lost your purpose.
That's it. It's like Plankton in SpongeBob. I don't know. I didn't think I'd make it this far.
Exactly. So that's the way I look at this. So I think taking the belt off Roman was necessary. No matter what, somebody had to take it off him. But at this point, it should not have been Cody. I would have preferred if it was Gunther who took the belt. And it would have made a lot more sense because Gunther is the ring general. He's the future of the WWE, and he's got his own little posse. So they would have been able to stop Jimmy, Jay, or Solo.
Would have had a War Games match there.
You could have had a War Games match. But most importantly, it would have been different. And from Gunther, you can take him 100 different ways. Because he can have a great match with anybody, and he is just the heel. And his purpose is just to be that unstoppable foreign heel. And like I said, million ways to go from there. But with Cody, you're kind of in a bind because who's the guy who's going to beat Cody that makes sense? LA Knight? Honestly, not so much. Him beating Damian Priest? That looks better. Randy Orton? Maybe, but again, that doesn't make sense. CM Punk? I mean, on paper, it looks like a great match, but does it make sense? No. The only way I can see Cody losing and it not affecting him in a bad way is if he loses to Braun Breaker, who is another guy who's going to be the top guy in WWE.
I think he could lose to Gunther.
He could. But at the same time, it's like, is it going to really pop the people like it would have a year ago?
If you're giving Gunther time off now, after he's lost the Intercontinental title, I think it could. Done right, you can get a big pop from it. But right now, you need to keep Gunther at home, keep him off TV, and let the people miss him, and then bring him back. And then I think you can go into Cody Rhodes versus Gunther after about a year, year and a half maybe, and Gunther can beat Cody Rhodes, and then there we go.
Okay, so we know how to get from A to D, but how do we get through B and C? How do you get Cody Rhodes through B and C?
That's where you fit in your Solo Sikoas, your
but it's LA lazy.
Knights.
It's lazy, and do you want to beat LA Knight? That's the thing. If LA Knight gets that big chance at the championship, do you want him to lose?
Well, after LA, I
the
just
people,
say
after
LA
the people,
Knight. I say LA Knight.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, no matter the way you look at it, they're fucked. There's no way you can top Roman versus Cody. Not that it was the greatest of storylines. Let me put that out there. It wasn't the greatest storyline ever told. It was a good storyline, and it's the best that we've had in the last 4 years. But how can you beat him? It's the same thing a lot of people question about Roman is, okay, how do you beat Roman and how do you make it mean something? They made it mean something with Cody and then they fucked it up and then they made it mean something even though it was less this year. So with Cody, how do you make it mean something?
That will be the challenge going into the future. Also, WWE's hired Jacob Fatu. They're going to have Rock and Cody at some point down the line. Eventually, I don't know when, but
after September. Yeah, he's filming a movie from May until September.
Okay. AJ Styles, possibly.
Maybe. Honestly, if you want my solid opinion on how to make it mean something, put Cody and MJF in the ring for that belt.
Yes.
They have history behind them. And because Cody's now the big baby face, you need a big heel. Now, I love Gunther, and he's going to be a world champion. If you want it to mean something, put MJF there. Because MJF, he's young, he's hungry, and he's beaten, and he's lost to Cody in the past. Even though it's AEW, they had the best feud, the best matches on there. And if I was Triple H, I'd buy out MJF's contract. I'd tell him, look, you tell Tony you want out and you want to pay out your contract, I'll forward you the money. And then I would have MJF come out there and I would have people hate him because MJF is such a talented heel that he would get heat with the WWE universe so quickly. Everybody, even if you've never heard of MJF, they will look at him and say, okay, he's a fucking star, but he's a fucking prick and I don't like him. And that's exactly what you want out of MJF. And that's exactly how him and Cody can get over and how Cody can have a really good career as a champion now. You could also have Cody retain the title and then lose it to Gunther. But quite honestly, I like the idea of MJF getting a title shot and winning against Cody, because then you can go on and say, okay, how is it possible that this guy who just got into WWE got the opportunity of a lifetime and won the championship from Cody? And then you can have guys like LA Knight, Bron Breakker get fucking pissed and call out MJF and say, well, actually call out Triple H and say, how the fuck can you give that guy a championship title opportunity? Now I sound like I'm Vince McMahon talking through the announcers, but how can you give him a shot at the title when I worked my ass through NXT and through them and through this roster to get that spot, and it's taken from me and given to that idiot right there? LA Knight could say, I've been in. Opponent. Yeah.
Another LA potential Knight could say, CM Punk.
I worked my ass off in the ring from TNA, the Indies, NXT for a little bit, and then I had to go through a previous administration in this company, and I was made into a stupid male model, and I fought my way into being the best guy in this company, and he gets the opportunity. How is that fair? And like you said, CM Punk, there's that history with MJF and CM Punk. So I think the perfect way, the perfect solution is get MJF. It's going to be hard, but it's not impossible. And I would do everything in my power to get MJF. Even if he's not 100% right now, I would hire him and I would be like, all right, you cut a promo on him. We'll pretend you're healthy. We won't do anything physical, but you go out there, you piss people off, because that's the best thing you do. You piss people off and boom, you got a feud for the next 3 years.
That's all you need. I think he'd be fantastic. Well, until then, until MJF hopefully debuts, I believe that will wrap up this episode of the Waterboy Experience. Do we have any other news, any breaking news?
The Young Bucks released footage from Wembley Stadium about Tony Khan fearing for his life and CM Punk coming out there and beating Jack Perry.
Yeah, and it failed big time.
Yeah, everybody was chanting CM Punk. Meanwhile, Dave Meltzer went on the Wrestling Observer radio show, whatever the fuck it's called, and he said that what the crowd was really chanting was fuck CM Punk.
He's trying so hard to turn this back the way that he wants it, but you just can't.
Nope. But besides that, that is the end of the Waterboy Experience. Join us next week where we will be reviewing the Chinese Grand Prix, and hopefully we will have more news, because let's be honest, we were very lazy this past week. We didn't look up anything. So next week is going to be a better week, and hopefully we'll be back to our regular scheduled program of once a week releasing an episode of this shit show. So from me to you to him, sign us off, white boy.
Thank you guys for this episode of the Wild Boy Experience. Our story is finished here. You can follow us on Facebook, not on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok at the Waterboy Pod. And that's about it. Until.
Hold on. We are on YouTube right now.
And we are on YouTube. Finally, the Waterboy YouTube is here.
Yes, you can find us on YouTube or YouTube Music, and you can listen to the podcast. There's not going to be any video. It's just the static image of our logo, but we are out there on YouTube. Because I got tired of David saying, we're going to be on YouTube. So I said, fuck it. I'm putting us on YouTube. So we're on YouTube now.
Finally. After what? A year?
Try two.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's all I got for this episode. So thank you guys for this episode of the Waterboy Experience, and peace.
Second and goal just outside the 10. Hart jumps it in, and it's good.